Hi everybody, you're listening to the recording of EOL's Professional Development Learning Series, held on May 13. In today's session, Christine Bock will talk about the must-haves when virtually communicating, and she provides you with tips and tricks for reading and engaging your students when teaching online. If you prefer to watch the video, go to eoltechnologies.com/events. And if you enjoyed this session and want to join us live on our next one and guarantee your certificate of attendance, register on the same link, eoltechnologies.com/events. Hope you enjoy. Now to the good stuff. I'm really excited to have Christine Bock here with us today. Christine, she's a Bachelor of Arts degrees in psychology. She's a certified body language trainer and coach, and she's the founder of Body Language Blueprints. And I think you guys are going to love this because I already learned so much with her. And I don't know if you noticed, but I've been using my hands a lot. And that's one of the tips that I learned from her. I know you guys are going to learn a little bit about this today as well. So I hope you enjoyed this session. I think it's going to be really exciting for us, that, you know, for you teachers that are teaching online and having the sessions and you don't really know what's the best way to communicate and really engage with the audience and understand and interpret how are they responding back to what you're giving, right? I love presenting in person because I get that input from my audience, right? I have that feedback right away. But when we are doing that online, how do we get that, right? So I think Kristen is going to help us understand a little bit better. So Kristen, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time zone you are in. I just have to say, I'm so joyful to be here because I love people, I love culture. Sadly, I only speak one language, but this just brings me joy. And I love teachers, I love educators. So I'm going to just dive right in. I just want to make it clear, I can only see my slides. I can't see myself or anyone else. So if you're not hearing me or if there's any problems, please alert Natalia because I'm only seeing my slides. Okay, so I'm going to jump in and, oh, let's see here. Okay. All right, we're still seeing the slides? We're good?
Yes.
Okay. I want us to really work on building some powerful people skills. And as Natalia said, yeah, we now are doing a lot more virtually. And so I want to really, my goal here is to go over 5 body language kind of basics. And then we'll get into how do we apply that in the virtual world, because now we're doing both. I actually just yesterday got my first request to do an in-person presentation, and my mind was kind of exploding because it's been so long. But okay, let's get right to it. In a 30-minute conversation, 2 people can send over 800 nonverbal signals. That's a ton. That's like a game of ping pong or tennis where we're sending messages back and forth. And if you aren't able to read those cues, you're missing an entire channel of communication. And as language teachers, so much of your energy is spent on that verbal communication. So today, I really want you to start to consider the nonverbal part of it because that's equally important. So I'll have you put in the chat, but what percentage of our communication do you think is nonverbal? And this has just been studied. There's a variety of studies. But do you think it's 10%, 25%, 50%, or 60% of our communication? So I'll give you a second to put that in the chat. We can make sure the chat is working. And Natalia, you can give me the consensus here.
We have a lot of people saying 60, 50. A lot of 60, mainly 60.
Okay. 60. Because you are a smart crowd. Yeah, it's 60%. And I should say that's actually on the low end. There's pick your study. There's so many studies. It's anywhere from 60 to 93% of our communication is nonverbal. That's incredible. This depends on context. There's a lot of variables that go into that. But even if we go on the low end and we say 60%, it's more than half. That's more than half of your communication. So I really want to shine a light on this today, especially as language teachers. Okay, so what do I mean when I say nonverbal communication? I don't mean a mime who's just trying to talk silently. What I mean by nonverbals, there's really like three parts to it. So there's body language. That's your facial expressions, your posture, your stance, the way you walk. There's all of these kind of cues. So I'm going to show you this picture here. And very quickly, just indicate in the chat, who would you want teaching this course today? Would you want the woman in the blue, the woman in the middle, or the woman in the red? And I bet I can guess your answer.
Yeah, everyone wants to teach the red girl.
Yes. Hey, we are. That is completely nonverbal, and I bet you knew immediately. You could pick that up because her nonverbals are saying confident, open, friendly, where the other ones are saying tired, insecure. That's what I mean by the body language part of it. There is also tone of voice, so your vocal power, and people forget about that. With vocal power, there's the volume, there's the tone, the cadence, the pitch. Here in the United States, we call it the question inflection. That's where you go up at the end of a sentence. So it's almost like begging for a negotiation. So there's a whole lot with vocal power. We're not going to be covering a lot today, but just know you can hear, if you know, remember when we used to use phones, you can hear a smile through the phone. You can hear if someone's happy or tired, etc. So there's a lot with our vocal power. And then I also mean ornaments. So this, for the men here, I'm sorry, I've got really kind of women skewing pictures here. But there's a lot with how we choose to present ourselves to the world. Do we wear makeup? How are we doing our hair? Do we wear a suit and tie? There are all these different cues that really give us, they send out nonverbal signals. It's why the fashion industry is so important, right? It's why we are able to literally kind of pick and choose how we want to show up. So there's a ton with ornaments. So those are kind of the three components to nonverbal communication. And nonverbal signals are 12 to 13 times more powerful than accompanying words. So if I say, I'm really happy to be here today, or I say the same words and I say, I'm really happy to be here today. I'm saying the same words, but you are defaulting to the nonverbals. You would think, I don't believe it, or I believe it, because of my tone, my facial expressions, all of that. So I think that our brain and the ability we have to process this is really one of the most powerful tools we have. Our brain is already doing it. What I want to do today is start to kind of, again, shine that light on some of those cues so you can start picking up on those as well. Okay, so we're going to dive in. So body language basic number one are trust indicators. So I'm going to have you put in the chat, what part of the body do you notice first? When you first see someone, when you're first connected, especially someone new, someone that you've not connected with before, what do you think you're noticing? And I'm going to take a sip here while you're putting that in the chat.
So we have face, eyes, hair, eyes, face, facial expressions.
Okay. And yes, you are correct. There's a whole lot with our face. We for sure our eyes smile. I usually, a lot of people will say teeth, hair, all of that. That is incredibly important. We are for sure noticing that. What I want to let you know, and this was surprising to me, what our brain is actually scanning our hands. It's our hands. And what this is hands are our trust indicators. This is indicating kind of friend or foe. This goes back to kind of cave people days where we needed to know very quickly if that person coming up over the horizon was a friend or an enemy. You know, did they have a rock or a spear? So hands become incredibly important. Now, my perspective is from the United States. Certainly, a big thing that police officers will say are put your hands up. And it's because people can have a weapon, they can hurt you, they can grab you. That's what this is stemming from. So our brain is constantly scanning and looking for hands, whether you know it or not. That's a big indicator. So there's actually been a lot of studies, but they find jurors, find defendants who put their hands under the table is more sneaky, untrustworthy, and deceitful. So these are people that, you know, are in a courtroom and they find if they, the person testifying, if they can't see the hands, they just don't trust them as much. Now it's, I'm sure the jurors aren't thinking, I can't see their hands, I don't trust them. It's just something subconsciously saying, I don't know, I don't, this doesn't feel right. So what this means, what I want you to get from this, is I want you to keep your hands very visible and expressive. And my hunch is, as language teachers, you already are doing this. But if you're not, if you're someone that keeps your hands in your pockets or keeps them out of sight, I really want you to start considering using them more now to be expressive and explain things. So when you use your hands, so this is what Natalia was talking about, it's really doing two things. One, it's making it easier for you. So when I speak with my hands, it lessens my cognitive load. So I can explain better. So if you've ever, like if you have to keep your hands at your side and talk, if that's hard for you, that's because when you use your hands, you can, it makes it easier for you to process and explain things. It lessens your cognitive load. Okay, so it's doing that for you. The second thing it's doing is it's helping the other person. It's giving them visuals. So they're hearing the words, but they're also seeing it. So they're hearing it on two levels. So it's really like underlining and bolding your communication. And I'm guessing when you're teaching languages, you're probably doing a fair amount with your hands to express. Okay, what I want you to think about, there is a bit of a spectrum. So I'm just gonna point out a few things here. And yeah. Sam and Natalia, you are Canada. Mark Bowden, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's one of the top body language experts. He talked about the truth plane. So basically, if you have a box that goes here, if you are a baseball person, this is like the strike zone. If you keep your hands within kind of this box, that's considered about right. There's no right or wrong with it, but if you're keeping them here, this is expressive, you're doing just fine. If you go outside of the box, that is showing more excitement, enthusiasm. This is a great, you know, if you have a big idea or you really want to explain something, this is a great way to bring energy. But if I did the whole talk like this today, it would be too much. If I bring my hands down and I'm keeping them at my sides, that actually kind of brings the energy down. So if you've talked to people that are kind of bland, it's often they're not using their hands enough. So it's really, I share this with you because it's all about control. You can speak with your hands, you can bring energy up, you can bring energy down. If you're doing presentations, that's incredibly important. So I'll just, any questions so far? I'm just gonna pause for a second before we go on to the second cue. Is that making sense?
Some comments about how fascinating and impressive all of this is. And they're like, really like impressed, like, whoa, very interesting. Thank you. I think we have a question here. How do you get the truth plane into a Zoom meeting?
Ah, don't steal my thunder. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Coming up. So yes, absolutely. We will cover that. Okay, and I knew I loved you. I love you guys. Okay, so we're going to go to skill number two, which is eye contact, which is purposeful gazing. So there's a couple ways we make eye contact, but there's two main ways that I want to highlight here. So the first one is called professional gazing. This is when you are looking at the person's eyes, and when you break gaze, when you look up, look away, hopefully you know what I mean by that. So I'm talking with you and then I kind of break eye contact. And I have to just say here, this is what's incredibly hard about Zoom is we are constantly making that eye contact where in real life, I'd be taking a sip of my coffee, I'd be looking around, I wouldn't have that strong eye contact and that's so draining virtually. Okay, professional gazing is when you're looking at the eyes, it's like a triangle and then the eyes are going up. So they're moving up on the forehead when you kind of stop looking at their eyes. This is a very confident, competent way to make eye contact. When they've done studies and tracked eyes of leaders, leaders often use this. It's a very strong way to make eye contact. So that's option number one. The other way is social gazing. This is where you're looking at people's eyes, and when you break that gaze, you're dropping it lower. So it's like an upside down triangle. You're looking more at the lower part of their face. This is a very warm, friendly way to make eye contact. So just think about yourself. Are you, you know, which way do you tend to go? There's no right or wrong. What I want you to be aware of is learning how to harness that. Because if I, like, people that are very impressive, very competent, often are seen as hard to approach or intimidating. So they might want to use the social gazing to be a little bit more friendly and allow some connection. If I'm someone, and this is me, I'm pretty friendly and social, I've had to learn to use professional gazing to be taken a little bit more seriously. So it's being able to kind of go back and forth accordingly. So just start taking notice of what you do, what other people do. But those are kind of the two main ways. Why eye contact is incredibly important is it's a way to build connection. When we touch someone, so for us in the United States, it's a handshake. There's different things from around the world. But when we have that touch, that is the first time that we really kind of connect with someone. And we release the chemical oxytocin. And oxytocin is nicknamed the cuddle hormone. It's what makes us feel that connection. That's why we love our pets and our kids, because we feel that, literally feel that connection from the hormone. So the best way is a handshake or touch. The second best way is eye contact. That's the second most important way to really build that rapport with someone. All right, our third skill is first impressions. I'll have you put in the chat, how long do you think you have? How long do you have to make a first impression?
Right. 10 seconds.
10 seconds, okay.
A few seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, less than 3 seconds, less than 1 second.
Okay, and you're all kind of right, pick your study. But really, it's very quick. I would say 7 seconds or less, and it's probably more like 1 to 3 seconds, if that. It's pretty quick. Remember when I flashed those pictures of the woman in the blue, the woman in the middle, and the woman in the red? That didn't take you long at all to be like, red, right? That is what our brain is doing. So first impressions, it happens the moment someone sees you. It's not the first time you speak. It's when they see you for the first time, because what our brain is doing, our brain is so smart. It's always trying to protect us. So it's figuring out friend or foe. It's putting us in a category. So Mark Bowden actually talks about this. There's kind of 4 different buckets. There's friend, there's enemy or foe, there's potential mate, and there's indifference. Those are kind of the 4 categories that our brain is scanning. So we for sure don't want to be put in the indifference. We want to be seen and heard. Dating, that's a whole other topic. Invite me back. I don't think you're going to want to be in anyone's enemy category. So I want you to be thinking about, how do I send cues that say, I'm your friend. You can trust me. We can build a connection here. So moment someone sees you, not the first time they speak. And even just looking at these pictures, you can probably put them in categories very quickly. Okay, the acronym PAIN is what I want you to consider when you think about first impressions. So P, it's permanent. It's not impossible if you've made a bad first impression to switch out of it, but it takes a little bit more work. So it's pretty permanent. Our brain makes that decision, puts you in one of those categories, and then our brain, again, it's pretty great. It finds reasons to support that first decision. So C, I told you they were your enemy, or it's going to find those cues that are saying enemy or friend, et cetera. Okay, so that's P. A is accurate. We're actually 76% accurate. We're pretty good. We're not perfect, but not bad. And this, again, is coming from our brain's ability to find fear. We need to know that person walking behind us, are they going to hurt us? We've gotten pretty good at that. It's immediate, again, that split second, you know, you have a couple seconds. And then N are the nonverbals, the things that I highlighted before, the body language, the ornaments, the vocal tone. So that's what's really going into your first impression. And this happens digitally as well. So when, actually, Natalia, when you advertised this, was my picture put out?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So before you even came here today, you already had an impression that, you know, that, so I need to be very strategic on those things that I'm putting out on my website, the pictures, my email signature, all of that is a digital first impression. All right, number four, fronting. And this is one of my favorite skills, fronting. So Frank Karmoff from the University of Brussels found that when we view someone straight on, we view them as more trustworthy, more open-minded, more sympathetic. And this makes sense. This basically, the more you can see of someone, the more you can trust them because you know what they're doing, right? So this matters virtually, this matters in person. If you're doing presentations, I always encourage people, do not stand behind a table or a podium. You want to make sure that people can see you. That is that know, like, and trust factor. Okay, so what fronting is it's facing your top, your torso, and your toes towards someone. And that is the ultimate way to show nonverbal respect. When you fully are engaged with your top, torso, and toes, people feel that difference. They know that you're genuinely listening. Now, the thing is we think we do it, but we often are not. So there was one study where this was at a conference, and the researchers explained the concept of fronting. They asked the participants at this big conference, do you front when you're talking to people? 75% of people said, yes, of course we front. They filmed the conference, they went and looked at the footage, and what they found, it was only 30% were actually fronting. And what normally changes things are our feet. We will turn our feet. That's actually kind of a sneaky body language tip. Our feet usually point in the direction of what we are interested in. So it can be your feet are pointing to the bath, like a restroom, to another person, to food, to the exit. Our feet often indicate who or what we want to be doing. Okay, we can do that. We can front also when we are sitting. So what this is if you are in a meeting or you're talking with someone, if you want to show that nonverbal respect, it means probably turning in your chair or turning your chair and really facing them. But people feel this. So I have really worked hard, especially with my family, to make sure that, you know, that even if you're just putting down your phone and you're saying, how was your day? And you're completely facing them, that is felt. And my example of this is I had a client who was a professor, and she was really interested in this, working on this skill. And she said the week that she was really focusing on it, she had several people ask her if she had gotten a haircut. And we have no way of proving it, but she said, I think people just felt the difference. They didn't know what it was. And so they were like, oh, did you get a haircut? So it is powerful. I highly recommend it. With the people in your life that you can be with right now and just see if there's any kind of difference. The other thing is when you actually do this, you do listen better because you are completely focused. Okay, and that leads us to our final one, understanding space. Okay, now people need different amounts of space, and this is very different culturally as well. So I just want to make sure that people, you use it how it works in your culture. But typically, okay, so I've got the American system on top and the metric system on the bottom. But if you are less than like half of a meter, this is reserved for the very most close people in our lives. So our partners, our kids, our, you know, family members, you have to typically know someone very well to be in that space. Personal is about a half a meter to 1.5 meters away. That's kind of what we're doing right now. And if we would be doing that in person as well. Social is now we're kind of maybe more at a group setting that more might be more like a meter and a half to two. And that's with the pandemic, right? We're saying two meters. And then public is over that. So like a presentation, something along those lines. So just know there's differences in what is acceptable, and that culture definitely factors into that as well. Now I will kind of shift now to virtual and just say, one of the things I see is people get too close virtually. And that it's the same kind of feeling as if I'm in person and you're too close. I want to kind of back up. So I want to be, when I'm talking to you, I'm actually talking to you at the distance I would be in real life. I'm like an arm length away. I'm over that. So I'm a good kind of meter and a half away. And this is what makes it feel okay. If I got, and I don't know if I can, but if I got too close, it would start to feel like, oh, you're in my space. So I see that a lot when people are on devices, they just hold it too close and it can feel threatening and just really awkward and uncomfortable. So I'm going to just pause for a second because we're going to shift to the virtual, but are there any kind of questions bubbling up?
I think people are excited because we had some comments about how tricky this can be in the social distancing and in the virtual environment.
Yes. Okay, so let's just get to it. We can do more questions at the end. But okay, so I already mentioned that our brain gives more weight to nonverbal gestures. So if I say we have 5 skills that I want us to cover today, your brain should be really kind of confused right now. Or if I say I have a really big idea that I want to share with you, is your brain exploding a little bit? Because we rely so heavily on these nonverbal gestures. So really using your hands to explain, respecting the distance, all those things come into play. So whoever asked before, we do want to keep our hands visible. This is just a little bonus tip. If you happen to have a chair with armrests, if you raise the armrests or just keep your hands on there, that's a way to just make sure they're in the screen when you're communicating with your students. Not a big deal if you don't have them, but if you happen to have a chair and can do that, that's great. It's also a way to kind of keep you expansive, which is a very confident pose as well. Now, when this all started, when the pandemic started to happen, I was really interested and what the actors and actresses in Hollywood would do, because now they were starting to have to do interviews from home. So what I did, and I wanted to study them because actors and actresses are trained communicators. That is their job. They have to be very expressive. They have to get the message across. So I was very curious, how are they going to do this? So you may or may not be familiar with our late night shows here in the US, but this is Jimmy Kimmel. And he was interviewing Chris Hemsworth. So this was pretty early on. And I just took some snapshots of their conversation. And Chris was just such a great example. I kind of like a master class in how to speak with your hands, where it just felt very natural. But you can see where he's doing this. Like you can almost start to figure out, like, what is he talking about? It's very charismatic. It's engaging. And you can just see how expressive it is. So. Exhibit A. The second example here, this was also on Jimmy Kimmel. This was Jennifer Aniston. And you can see again how she's speaking so much with her hands, kind of pushing something away. You know, that's actually a great gesture, like, oh, that doesn't matter. Like you're literally pushing it away. The upper left, where she's doing this is the cue for it's personal or it matters. This is a great one to use. So if someone is speaking and they're sharing something personal, even doing this is just a way of showing like, I feel it. Or if you're sharing something important about you or that it matters, like I think I probably did like, you know, I love working with educators. I'm showing it's deep, it matters. So, okay. And then the last one is Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey, if you didn't know, he's an actor, but he's now also a professor at the University of Texas at Austin. And when the pandemic first started, he just did a little video to students, I think it was 5 minutes, just talking about it, encouraging them, saying that you know, be proud of how you've handled yourself, manage well through this. And I could have, you know, gotten a ton more shots here, but I just want to show you how expressive he is, where he's talking about it and pointing at things and we can come together, you know, or even like this. This, the one on the right, this is a very confident hand gesture. This is like, you're confident in what you're saying. It's It's called the steeple. So point is, study the experts. They are certainly speaking with their hands. It's very, again, very charismatic and expressive. Okay, a few more do's and don'ts. This one, we can talk about this one, but I want you to start thinking about the virtual world just like you do the real world. And would you show up to a meeting in person with a bag over your head? Probably not. There are exceptions and different cultures and different expectations, but typically, and you might be frustrated with this. I get this a lot from teachers where, you know, you're on camera, you're speaking, and everyone else has their camera off. And it's really hard to tell if they're listening, what's going on, because you're thinking they're not paying attention because their camera isn't on. That could be true, might not be. So typically, and I'm talking about the etiquette here in my country, but it's where we're encouraging people to at least say, like, you know, I don't have internet connection, or I'm not feeling well, or kind of giving the reason why they're not turning their camera on, just out of being polite. Like, I'm paying attention, but I'm unable to turn my camera on. So if anyone wants to put some comments in there, this one's a little bit more hazy, but something to consider. And Natalia, you can let me know then if anyone comments on that. Eye contact. So this is the one thing that really is different in real life than it is virtually. So eye contact. I think a lot of us have already learned now that we really need to be talking to the camera. So let me just demonstrate. I'm looking at the camera, so I'm wanting to create that connection, that eye contact. The minute I start looking kind of at my screen, you know, if I'm looking at the faces and stuff, it doesn't feel as connected as when I'm back looking at you. So if you want to build that eye contact, you really do need to be looking at the camera. That takes a lot more work and practice. So things you can do is you can put, like I have a little picture of my mom above my camera where it allows me to kind of be talking to someone and reminding me to look at the camera. You can put a sticky note with a smiley face, whatever it might be. You can move, sometimes you can move like the pictures, the thumbnail to underneath the camera. The big thing that I think people haven't really connected yet is you need to have your camera at eye height. People forget to do that. You really need to raise it. So setting it on books, actually buying a riser, that's incredibly important. So what you see are people looking down at their phones. Those are really bad angles. So first of all, it's not flattering. For me, it shows my extra chin. But it feels very aggressive because you're literally looking down on someone. So it feels a little bit aggressive or threatening. So here there's the expression, looking down your nose at someone or looking down on someone is not good. And that's, again, we get that feeling of like they're above us, they're looking down. So really make sure you're working hard to get at a very similar eye height. Lighting is pretty important, so be aware of it. If you're standing in front of a window, it's like backlight, it can make you look like a blob, like just like a black silhouette. If you have a light shining in right in front of you, a window, it often makes you look very white, very pale. And if you have weird lighting, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Ring. It's that creepy, scary girl that like comes out of the TV. It kind of looks like that. So really be intentional with your lighting, that you've given it thought. So it's the morning here, but I often do presentations at night. I need to make sure that the lighting is good. All right. Remember when we talked about fronting? That's when you're fully facing someone. This is one that's really popping up now, is people have multiple screens. So you're in a meeting and you're looking at a different screen because that's where the information is and you're not looking at the camera. We feel that. So even if, you know, people can tell when you're in a meeting and you're looking at your phone or looking at a different screen, start thinking about this. I don't have the answer, but I have worked with a few people that it was a matter of just moving the camera and that allowed them to look at the people while they had the information. It's not always that easy, but at least like addressing it, saying, I'm paying attention, but I'm going to have to be looking at my screen, or I'm going to be looking down at notes, is at least a courtesy. You're letting them know, like, I'm paying attention. I just can't always be looking. All right, I want you to consider your background. And this, I'm kind of passionate about this because I feel like this is a bit of an untapped area. Think about your background. Usually less is best for like a professional call. So you don't want plants growing out of your head. There's some pretty easy, cheap things that you can do just to make it kind of a clean background. You can put up a changing screen, a wall tapestry. I actually had someone share that they were on a call with someone and it was this beautiful background and they asked and it was a shower curtain. So there's some pretty cheap things, or just a corner of a room. That's what I'm doing. I've taken over a bedroom and I've made the corner my own. So I'm going to show you my setup. So this is what I'm doing right now. I'm actually at a stand desk. If you do a lot of presenting, you know that you want to be standing. The reason I have these lights, which look kind of expensive, they weren't. It was like $80 US, is because I wear glasses and those ring lights are terrible. So I've gone with this. They were, not too expensive. And then I have some bookshelves that are speech bubbles that I had my friend's dad build, just to kind of show my brand. So none of this was that expensive. And this was, like I said, a guest bedroom that is now my office. Another really easy thing is a coat of paint. So I'm in the corner, the opposite wall, I painted blue. And that's been really great if I'm filming something or I just want a really clean background. It's so easy and it's amazing. People will be like, wow, I love your background. I think it's literally a painted wall, which was cheap. So there are things you can do if you know that you're going to be teaching from home or this is kind of a forever thing. You might want to consider that. All right. So again, kind of obsessed with the celebrities. I took some screenshots of people on, again, these interview shows. And in my Facebook group, I had people rate, like, which background do you like the best and why? So go ahead and put in the chat what you would pick. And so these were kind of evenly split. A lot of people like Selma Hayek. They thought it was very nice. Serena, some people really liked that curtain. Some people thought, like, what's she hiding? What's going on? Brené Brown, people really liked the books, but the shirt was really clashing. I think if she would have had, like, a white shirt on, it would have been very different. And then Zendaya, people also thought she looked very professional. So, what, Natalia, any guesses on the winner?
We have very mixed feelings here. We have A, D, C, A, C, C, A, A.
Well, there might be some cultural things here too. So in my little Facebook group, the winner was A, it was Selma. And the research that I've looked at is people like to see your home, that's sort of like a little gift. They can find out more about your personality. So that is the number one, people like to see the real home. Number two is like a plain background, like a wall, painted wall. And number three are kind of the virtual because they know it's not real. So this, again, I think as a teacher is a really great opportunity to start putting some of your personality and even having conversation points, like having something someone can comment on or you can point to. These are great opportunities to build that communication skill. So be thinking about your background. All right, a few more things here. Just some basic body language cues. So when people are nodding, sitting up straight, leaning in, tilting their head, those are usually good signs, like they're engaged. Leaning back, crossing arms isn't necessarily a negative thing. It can just be they're tired, it's more comfortable. But take note of it if you're saying, if someone's really engaged and then you say something and then they lean back and cross their arms. That might be that you've hit on something, or they're not comfortable with it, they're feeling insecure. So take note of some of those cues as well. All right, remember to check your camera shot. So oops, this is one a reporter, and he was working out in the morning, and he just put on his suit jacket. He had his exercise shorts on, went on TV, and clearly he, in the shot was the fact that he was wearing shorts. So check your look before you enter that Zoom room or Teams or whatever you're going to be on. Also, make sure that you have your designated space, whether that's in an office, at work, or at home, that people know that, like this morning, I said to the people in my home, you know, I'm going to be doing a presentation, so heads up. Just, I need you to be quiet. So find that quiet space where you can focus. If you remember, this was a couple years ago where the gentleman was being interviewed on the BBC and his kids came in. Again, letting people know, like, hey, I'm going on a call. Sometimes if you're in kind of an open area, if you have a changing screen, that's a way to cue someone, like, hey, I'm on a call. Just, again, making sure you're letting the people in your lives know, like, I need a moment here. Making sure, just like in real life, before you go to a meeting, you would have used the restroom, you would have got your paper and pencil, you would have your drink, you'd have all those things ready to go. Make sure you have that the same virtually. So this went viral in our country, where this woman was on a meeting and she completely forgot she was on camera and started to use the bathroom. And you can see the expressions are like, oh my gosh, like go, you should have done that before you were in the meeting. All right. And then the last one is kind of, again, checking your look. Make sure that your camera ready before you enter a meeting. I've seen people that, you know, they pop in and then you see them kind of checking their look. We can do that before we go on camera. All right, a few more things to consider before we wrap up here. Okay, close distractions. This is a big one. That you, any kind of push notifications that are coming through, I did that before I jumped on here. I made sure to silence that so it's not distracting, so it's not, you know, people aren't looking away or you're not looking at your phone or people aren't hearing that. This one, I hope I'm not offending anyone. So in our country, I'll say resting angry face. It just means that when your face is relaxed, you tend to look a little bit more irritated or upset. I actually have this. This is like a genetic thing. What it means is are the corners of your mouth and sometimes your eyes turn down when you are very relaxed. So here, let me just do it here. So it might look like I'm angry, and I'm not. This is, I've noticed it more virtually, like when I'm really concentrating and taking notes and, you know, in my own head, that I can come across as a little bit, you know, what's wrong. There's no great answer for this, but for me, it just means I have to remind myself to smile and nod, tilt my head, make sure people know that I'm engaged because I am paying attention, I am listening. But it's so hard because, oh man, on Zoom, you are like constantly on a call, like you're constantly being seen. All right, so I made sure to smile and wave when we were joined this morning. It's our first and last impression. So just however you would greet someone in real life that you're waving or whatever the gesture is that you're doing that, you're acknowledging the people in your life, virtually and in person. And then again, when you leave, that you're also indicating that I'm leaving now. Patterns. I want you to think about those backgrounds and just how this looks virtually. I picked this image of the real basic striped shirt, you know, pretty normal shirt, but on camera it looks a little bit warbled or like an optical illusion. And again, that picture of Brené Brown where she had kind of that big print and she had the books, some people like it, but it can be a bit much for some. So be thinking about, again, how is this going to look? Be aware of jewelry. Jewelry on a microphone can really be amplified. Rings, earrings, necklaces, anything like that can be incredibly distracting. So I would encourage you to be very mindful about what you're wearing or even take it off. All right. this is talking about a conversation driver. So WFH is work from home. When people don't know whose turn it is, it can get really awkward when we don't know who's leading. Meetings in person are a little bit easier because we have an agenda or we can look at some of those cues. It's important when you are, you know, if you're working with a couple people that you know that I'm going to introduce and then it's at someone else's turn, that people know their parts so we're not stumbling over our words or whose turn it is. And things you can do with that, you can have conversation starters, or we call them icebreakers, just something to kind of warm people up or let them know what we're talking about. I have table topics. This is just, I have several of these, but this is where you can like pull out a card and ask a question. That's really great too when, I would think when teaching students that you're asking a question that they can be answering. And then being mindful of time. I've taken courses online that if it's an hour and there's six of us, we all are getting 10 minutes-ish of time. We've even had timekeepers that, you know, here's a question, everyone gets 2 minutes to respond. It seems a bit harsh, but it really does allow, like you know your boundaries and your parameters, and it allows for equity that everyone has a chance to speak. And then last one here, vocal power is really important. So consider investing in a microphone. I've got my little snowball here. I was on a training yesterday talking about, the guy was talking about creating your own Zoom room. And his advice was you should be spending 80% of your budget on a microphone. It's that important. You know, people will kind of forgive lighting and a few other things, but you can't forgive audio because you need to be able to understand the person. So really consider going beyond whatever's in your device and getting a microphone. And then same with lighting. It's kind of microphone, then lighting. Those are both pretty critical in making sure that you can be an effective presenter, educator, communicator. So with that, next steps, what I'd like to do, so I've got like 7 minutes left. I would love some feedback. What ideas do you plan to try? Like what were your aha moments? What connected with you? I would love just to kind of hear what landed today. So put that in the chat. And while...
Go ahead. Christine, like they are saying like, oh, I was doing some of wrong. Now I'm going to like try to be mindful and try to fix. They are some very useful ideas. Thank you. We have some questions that maybe I can read them to you. What do you think?
This is like shamelessly, if you want to find me and ask questions, and you are welcome to email me, you can find me on my website. That's bodylanguageblueprints.com. LinkedIn, I would love to connect with you there, hear what you're doing, what kind of work you do. And then my Facebook group. I just started it in January. And I put pictures up and I do different things. It's a way to kind of keep it top of mind and kind of strengthen those muscles. So if that is of interest, you can join that. That's free. Make sure you're going to my group, not my page, Body Language Blueprints. So yes, let's go to questions.
So a lot of people are saying that they're going to start working on their background, on their lighting, on their gazing. So that's, they're already like seeing where they're going to improve.
Okay.
So why don't we stop sharing the screen so we can maybe have the cameras on here and then people can come in even and show them, show what they're already like arranging from what they learned today.
Oh, now I can see some faces. Okay, wait, you disappeared. Okay, here you are.
There you go.
Hey, yeah.
All right, so we had a question from Christina. So she's asking, how can teachers be expressive and at the same time show seriousness and respect in front of teenagers?
Wow, I'd be a millionaire if I knew that. I will say that people that are expressive are usually viewed more favorably. I mean, so I wouldn't be afraid of that's okay. I, I would say with teenagers that you're showing confidence, that you're standing, you're using power posing. If you've heard of Amy Cuddy with TED on TED Talks, do you know what I'm talking about, Natalia? Amy Cuddy?
I don't.
Okay, Amy, A-M-Y, Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. Watch her TED Talk, where she just talks about standing like confident, like power posing, how she noticed men in her classes. She's a Harvard teacher. Men tended to take up more space and be a little bit more confident, and women kind of came in, were small, took up a little space, and she started to really look at that and how powerful it is. Like, if I stand like this and I was talking, I literally start to feel less confident. But when you stand and you're owning your space, you start to feel more confident. So teachers, it's like presence. Someone's talking and distracting. I know when I was teaching in classrooms, you kind of go over and you stand by them. There's things that you probably are already doing just to show, like, I'm in control here. But a lot of it is just your presence. You can be charismatic, but you're going to do it confidently. Is that answering?
Yeah, and I think it even connects to Christian Gomez. He's asking, do you recommend standing? And you did tell us that you are standing today, right?
Yes, yes. And that's, and I don't know if when you're teaching, if you are or not. For me, it just feels natural because then I can have a little more energy. When I'm sitting, it's a little less, but, you know, whatever works for you.
And look at this feedback here, very interesting, from Katya. She's saying, once I noticed while watching the recording of my class that I was checking my material while greeting the students, and my face was not communicating what I was saying. I said, oh, I'm so glad to see you again. And my facial expression was totally serious. So she realized that she wasn't communicating what she was saying.
Yes, yes. So a couple things with that. So good job, because the first step is really just becoming aware. That's... For me, body language is the basis of empathy and connection, because if I can read your cues and I can become aware of mine, I am a much better communicator. So I will do things like, I'll do Facebook Lives. I'll sometimes put sticky notes up just so that I'm still looking at you if you need to read notes. You can do things like that. I also do a class on micro expressions, which is reading some of those facial cues so you know. There's 7 universal expressions that we do that. So it's worldwide, like happiness, sadness, disgust, contempt, anger. Did I say sadness? Anyway, there's 7 of them that when you get good at picking that up, that also allows you to be a really great communicator.
Yeah, excellent. There is a comment from Marianella. So she says, virtual backgrounds actually hinder gestures sometimes. And they do. I'm using one. So sometimes you see that my hands, like, they will like fail and you like get like a little bit like finicky.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, they can be fun and they can be like, I'm not saying don't use them. But if you have the ability to craft an area, and not everyone can. That's sort of that unmined gold that I think you can find, where you can create conversation and really a brand. Yeah.
We have a comment here as well. She says, I think it's Karen. She's saying, is it right then to say that a person can be intimidating because they are like in the actions, appearance, but not necessarily because I feel intimidated by them?
Okay, say that again, that they can be without knowing it, or?
It's because I think it's like what she's trying to say is that she's feeling intimidated because how she's acting, but not because I actually feel intimidated by this person, but you are transmitting me a vibe of being intimidating.
Yeah, so typically people that don't have a lot of expression that are, and actually leaders often have, they have movement, but it's slower, it's not... They're not talking like this. It's very intentional movements can come across as very intimidating. So usually when I'm coaching people, I'll tell them you have to use your warm cues. Like you have to tilt your head. You have to nod. You have to mm-hmm. The big thing is being very open. Like you're not blocking. You don't have anything in front of you. You're keeping your palms open. And when you're speaking, that's a way to build friend connection.
We have a repeated question here. A lot of people asking the same thing, and this is the golden question. So let's see if you can help us. How can we motivate students to open their cameras?
Tell me to a really cool training on body language, and you literally need to see their face to build connection. Like, you want to see, like, you care and you want to build that connection. Yeah, that's the hard. Oh gosh, super hard.
Trying to do games, right? Like, do, like, try to play a game, an introduction game, so people can warm up in different sections. Like, today, for, like, next class, come prepared to turn on your camera, so they are, like, they are expecting that.
Or can you show us something and, you know, like, make them come prepared that we're going to have an interaction. So, I want to be mindful of time. I've got one more tip. It is on the handout that I prepared, so if you have to leave, I get it. But I want to just do one more bonus tip, and then I'll stick around if you guys have more. All right, can you guys see that? It should say photofeeler.com?
Yes.
Okay. This is a great website. This is a great way to understand first impressions. So Photo Feeler is a place you can put your photos in and then strangers are rating it, which is terrifying, I know. So I'm gonna show you what I did. There's three different categories. You can do business, you can do like casual, social, and then like dating. So I did four pictures. I entered them into Photo Feeler. The first three, the 20 votes, 40 votes, and 40 votes, I bought. I paid, it was like, I don't know, 20 US dollars. People are rating you on competence, so your confidence, likability, and influence. Okay, the fourth one is what I'm most interested in. You can do it for free. You can put a picture in, and I think they call them karma points, where you're voting on other people's, and so the more votes you give, the more votes you get. And why I would encourage you to do the free way is because you start to see very quickly when a picture pops up how you already have an impression. You're like, nope, I wouldn't trust them, or they look great. So this one I let ride. I let people really vote on it. It was my best picture. I looked the most genuine. I looked the most approachable. So this is what I use when I do marketing. I use the other one, I think, on my email signature, but I have hard data saying these are your two best pictures. This is what people like. This is how they feel. So I would encourage you to absolutely try that feature. That is a great way to get that really unbiased feedback on how am I showing up? How do people see me? Because virtually is important. Okay, I've got... that we are done. I will stick around and answer any more questions. Natalia, you tell me what you'd like.
I think we're good with the questions. People absolutely love it. They are receiving a lot of great feedback. They are very excited to start implementing this tasks. I would say that there's a really interesting comment here from Mark, and he's saying, just be mindful that some students, they might have a reason that they don't want to open their camera. They don't want to show, maybe because their settings, their conditions, they don't want to show that whatever their living conditions are. But I think a suggestion that I would say for teachers is that you gave some really great suggestions of how they can improve their background without giving a lot about their home or the space, maybe even just a shower curtain that they can get from the dollar store, right? And just hang it out on their background. And having just like the camera facing against a wall, that'll be very simple. It's not going to give away their home situation. So maybe even we can help them to like give suggestions of how they can improve their background situation, right?
No, fantastic point. Yes, being mindful of socioeconomic standards. And then the other thing I would add to that are there's a lot of mental health where people don't want to be seen, or there's a lot. So, of course, being very aware and mindful of that. But if you can, give them pointers, or maybe if they're even just sending a picture to you, somehow that you're building that connection. So excellent point. Yeah.
All right. Unless if we have any other questions, if anyone wants to come maybe on the mic and ask a question, I think we are good to go. Start the day. We have a lot of people jumping off because they have some classes to give. So excellent. I really do want to thank you, Kristin. This was excellent. Everyone was so excited. I've learned a lot as well. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us. I will be sending the recording to everyone. I know everyone is asking me, I want a recording because I want to make more notes. I really love this. So don't worry, you receive the recording probably later today. You receive your certificates. Make sure to register for our next webinar as well next month. It's going to be on June 9th. And make sure to join our club, our new teachers club, so you can get in all of the great information that we have for you, prepare for you. And thank you so much for joining us again in this session. And I hope to see you all next month. And tell a teacher friend that you like and that he will join us again also next month. Thank you.
Okay, let's do our waves. Anyway, good to see you.
Great to see everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Safety from Studio One.